No, yeah, I want to. Oh, dope. It'll I mean, be like, I love you guys and I want to talk about you guys, but also I'm a different person now. I'm a software salesman and I turn and burn.
Yeah, you're not a comedian anymore.
You're not a comedian anymore. Exactly. Software salesman.
No. Were you ever?
I mean. There's way more. Okay. There's way more important things in this life, and it's money, and I have it, so it doesn't matter.
This was Jeez. His entire personality for yeah. when he was working in the restaurant industry when we yep. were living together.
Oh, and that was chump change, dude. Okay. Oh my God. Yeah, I wouldn't stop for a bar now, dude.
He would literally like walk. He would come home with like $200 and he would be like, he would be flexing it in front of my face.
I know.
I like to count it. Yeah.
Yeah. He was nothing. Doing that in front of us too.
I would. Yeah, I would. And you could drop that on the floor and I wouldn't stop to pick it up now, to be honest.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Man, no. You are.
So do you like comedy or do you just like an area where you can excel?
Yeah, no. Mm-hmm. Luck of the Irish. That's what I want, bro. Just cash.
You just want to excel.
Uh-huh.
So Durango, you could excel at comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That makes sense, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why I like playing basketball at the park with 12-year-olds. Same thing.
That's a good bit.
Wow, I'm the best player on the court right now? This is crazy.
Biggest fish in the smallest pond.
Yeah.
You're just like a largemouth bass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of minnows in this room. Not you guys.
Minnows?
Mm-hmm.
Minnows.
Minnows. Oh, minnows isn't like little minnow spirits?
As in if you were moving too slow, I would swallow you by accident and not even notice.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Anyway, Elliot doesn't have a soul anymore.
Elliot lost his
soul.
Can I
come back to being a normal person? But this persona is actually really fun, and it's what I do at work.
Good. Persona?
Yeah.
I think you're trying it out, this attitude that you'd like to have.
Yeah, I do it every day at work.
It's funny because you have the most money in the room, but the least personality. Like the
wow. Right. Wow. You have the most money and the least
right
personality.
Is not
it's
happy.
True. It's true. I mean, like, we don't got to, like, not say that.
I'm not like, denying it or upset.
I know. So yeah. I think it's just a
you
choice.
You're making.
He just takes out money. He's like, yeah, no. That's true.
Yeah. I don't have a soul, but who needs a soul when you have unlimited resources?
When you have $5,000.
Okay. So just Sarah's riding your cock a little harder now
mm-hmm.
and you're all Mr. Alpha.
Yeah. Well,
I like Alpha Elliot.
Actually, I haven't talked to her in about 3 weeks because I've been closing deals, but I'm sure she's good.
Are you happy?
No.
Okay. That's what I wanted to ask.
Get back on track. All right. Yeah.
We are the dead room.
We are the dead.
What the fuck was that?
Oh, was that really funny?
Oh, let's get back.
Dead room comedy. Dead room. Dead room comedy. Comedy.
That's what I wanted to ask.
Get back on track, all right? Yeah.
We are the dead room.
We are the dead.
What the fuck was that? Oh, was that really funny?
Oh, let's get back on track. We are the dead room.
I was trying to do an intro. We are the dead room.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we'll do it better.
Go ahead. Keep catch up the listener.
We are the dead room. Uh-huh. My friends, da-na-na,
of the world.
That is so funny. Man, Jeff, when you
classic.
Fart... When you,
classic.
I, when you fart...
Stop doing that.
When you fart,
like, we're
is,
in the room. Like, it is...
But the listeners are... Oh, that reeks. This is our microphone,
I could go to sleep. Why am I here?
Wow.
Like,
content.
All right.
So
when's the last time we've all been in a room together?
It's been a while.
Jeez, that fucking stinks, dude. That smells
smell
bad.
Uh-huh.
It, bad. And it smells organic, which is nice.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I've been eating it.
I'm going to go back to being a normal
Yo,
person.
Yo, I'm coughing
communicating
on it,
with
man.
You guys in
this is
way
fucking...
Now.
Oh, that smells like Elliot's personality. Oh, God.
Dude. It's really bad. I plug my headphones back in so I can...
Dude, there's like a specific Wisconsin fart. It's like a Midwest fart.
Oh, shut up.
I'm
I think
serious.
This is more, I think this is more
my
dietary.
My uncles have it. Okay, Jeff has it.
Do your uncles also intermittent fast and just eat mostly vegetables?
No, it's just that it's like something in their blood.
So it's not diet, it's geography.
It's just it's like this, like, I have this, like, this layer of lactose that'll never rid itself of my system.
Damn.
Or it, like it, system it does never, not smell good.
The more that
it's
I fan,
a fart.
The worse
what do you expect?
Right. How are you mad at us? How are you the
I'm
one that's
not.
Mad?
I'm like, why are you surprised that a fart smells?
I'm just letting
you, work
you know.
At the zoo.
I'm letting you know that you are externalizing.
Anyway, we are the dead room.
we are the dead room.
It has been a while since we've all been in a room together, honestly. It's
like, name
a,
it. Yeah,
at least
four
like
weeks?
A month, at least, right?
Yeah.
There's been a lot of three.
I couldn't tell you when the last.
It wasn't even.
Probably January.
What did we do in January?
I don't know. Maybe one of these.
Maybe it was probably our last podcast
because we did a podcast together, and that was in January.
Yeah,
and so, even before that, the New Year's party was just Elliot, you, and I. Because Josh was sick.
Wow, I was sick.
Are we talking November?
Maybe December, November.
Wow.
Holy shit. That's crazy.
Boy, that road trip really did a number on us.
Yeah.
I was thinking about, like, just, I mean, because my energy of the fight that I just had with Jacob, which I'll take blame and credit for simultaneously.
That's as you do.
That's so brave
with
of
most
you.
Most things.
Blame and credit.
That's so brave of you.
Well, because look at this apartment's great now. We really reached a good place.
That's what I'm saying.
I went about it in a bad way.
You just threw out the dead flowers?
No, they're still in there. They're in the windowsill.
I didn't notice a difference right away, but I'll...
I mean, it's a little disorganized right now with all these fucking cords, whoever dragged these in here. Guys, keep it going for Evan Fitzgerald, Slaughterhouse Studios.
We're nothing without you.
Truly.
You're cool.
At least in the, podcast sphere.
In podcast sphere, yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
so probably November. So, yeah. Okay. So, talk about that road trip. I was just thinking about, like, what an ugly start to the road trip was, and, you know, not good.
At the beginning of the road trip? In October?
Yeah, because I was, like, on zero sleep. The few times that I've gotten in major fights, I've just been on zero sleep.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about the fight that we had on the road trip.
Yeah.
What fight was it? Was it skydiving?
No, it was because he had no sleep, and I, like, went back into the hotel room, and he was trying to sleep. And I admit, I got on the bed, and I was, like, loud and stuff.
Jumped on the bed while I was taking a nap.
Yeah, I totally forgot about that.
Yeah, but it was also after the skydiving thing when, like, Josh and I were, like... Big growl energy.
Oh yeah, you guys got into a fight. Yeah, not a fight.
We just barking. Yeah.
Were you guys thinking it when you were up there? Because I was thinking it from the ground. Because I didn't go. Because I'm cool. I was like, they're gonna be upset if they die and they're mad at each other. Did you guys like make up in the plane or anything like that? Where you're like, hey, let me just say like one quick positive thing about.
Yeah, with that great thing that we all did together, or that shared experience that brought us closer together.
I think by the time we were in the plane, we were also filled with adrenaline and happy feeling, and we were living life, and we were actually being authentic. I love you guys more because we jumped out of a plane together.
Honestly, I was on the ground like,
oh, I hope they make up, and you guys were just filled with endorphins.
I thought to myself, I love Elliot less now, actually. It was not the same amount.
I wish it was more likely to die not going skydiving.
Yeah.
I hope you guys were like, man, we're mad at each other, but I really hope that by the time we hit the ground, Elliot's dead. That would be good. That would be really cool.
We were all trying to land on you.
Yeah, that'd be really cool.
It would have been funny if we all skydived and then you just got hit by a car.
Yeah, that would have been funny, man. That's good. Classic.
There's a gas leak in the hangar.
Yeah, literally. Oh, Elliot had a brain aneurysm. Anyway, yeah, it's been a while. It has.
And why is that?
I feel like I'm the one that doesn't come. I feel like you three. No, I'll follow that thought.
No, I appreciate you taking responsibility for the situation.
Take blame and credit.
Well, yeah. So like New Year's, I wasn't there because I was sick with the flu, and then
your fault.
Yeah.
truly.
I mean, I did that on purpose.
Take credit.
Absolutely. and then, it's just been super busy going into the new year because, like, I two jobs, trying to do comedy, trying to do acting, trying to travel. And it's if you don't get into my calendar, it's like you're dead to me.
Yeah.
It's dead to me.
So we should have been, instead of being... friends, we should have been calendar invites.
100%. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, it's funny because I still see every Wednesday the Dead Room org meeting from 5:30 to 7. Do you guys see that on your Google calendar?
No, I deleted that.
Yeah. You deleted that. I still see it every... And it's funny because like that was like our goal for the new year was like, okay, we're going to stay on track every week. Yeah. We're going to meet. But, I mean, we've been running shit regardless with not meeting every week. You know?
Yeah. Mostly effectively.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, like Giordano's was pretty smooth all the way up until the
end. Fucking hell, dude. Three weeks?
Yeah, I had it for like two weeks and I ran into the ground.
And you blew it.
Yeah, that's true. I didn't put those two things together, but you were running it well and it was still running.
Blame and credit.
Blame and credit.
Huh.
Because now it's going to be what? Like, is it called Casey's Liquids or something? Or is that just the company?
No, Casey Jones.
Yeah.
Who's Casey Jones?
He was the guy that the Grateful Dead song where he did cocaine and then he crashed a train and died.
So it's going to be a Grateful Dead bar now?
It's going to be a cocaine bar now.
Okay.
Yeah. So
that would be much better than a Grateful Dead bar. Yeah. Is it going to be pizza?
Yeah. I think so.
I don't know.
They're like, you guys know what the problem was? You know why there was no one in here ever? You know what it was? Too thick a crust. I think if we go thin crust, like, I don't know.
They did have thin crust.
Their food is antithetical to every diet trend in America. Like, here's a bunch of dairy, and here's a bunch of bread, and here's a meat, and this sauce is full of sugar.
Yeah. So they're gonna try and rebrand and increase their
same company though.
Yeah,
same company. Parent company.
Same company.
It's like a sister company or something.
They franchise multiple. It's not all Giordano's. They have different labels under their franchise. They have different investors. Part of the conflict. I don't know if I should be getting into this. On
why not
public.
Go into
yeah,
it?
Yeah, part of
they're not gonna listen to it.
Part of the conflict is. So Giordano's has the multiple franchises, and they don't want other things that aren't Giordano's to do pizza, but that place is already set up to do pizza based on their kitchen.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So they're like, all right, well, we're going to try and still do pizza, which is causing controversy within the company. Because if you're doing pizza, you should be branded as Giordano's. That's their style of pizza. So they're going to revamp it. New vibe, new energy.
So
new
Mexican pizza.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm still confused. No. So they're still doing pizza, but just Giordano's is mad about it?
Yeah, or? Well, and it's like corporate too. So you have to think like if you're Colorado Giordano's and you want to change your pizza recipe, you have to go to the top and they have to be like, no, you can't change the pizza recipe unless you franchise under a different name. And if you franchise under a different name, then you can't do pizza. So it's complicated, but you know, they need to be busier, I think, in general. We had the busiest night. Since October 13th, the first show we did.
Yeah.
Then until March, what was it, 9th? Something like that.
When Jeff took over. What,
yeah.
When we had the busiest nights, or was like the only busiest night was October 13th?
No, Wednesday was the busiest night from October to March.
Nice.
Wow.
Nice.
Which is awesome for us, but also...
bad for them.
Not good if you're a restaurant, because you want to be busy on Friday and Saturday.
Yeah.
And
I'm surprised that they weren't busy. I mean, it was right on Broadway.
Yeah, South Broadway.
You know what the problem was?
The pizza. Ooh, it takes 45 minutes to like get a fucking deep dish. It's like Chicago's culture is based around that. They love deep dish pizza. It's like a tradition there, but here it's not.
Yeah. And maybe you guys are actually right, because I was being facetious when I said that, where I think that the issue is not the food. I think people go into places not based on food. They go into places they like, they're familiar with, has a good ambiance.
I go to a restaurant for food. I don't know anybody. I don't know anybody else does do that. Yeah. But
I mean,
I'm like, man, I'm allergic to fucking, you know, cheese, but I think it's the vibe.
You know, I get that you're being sarcastic too, but I think it's secondary. I think that if you close for 6 months, spend $2 million renovating, coming up with a new menu and reopening, unless you're revolutionizing something that doesn't exist on Broadway, I don't think that's going to be.
I think they just overestimated the Giordano's brand.
Maybe
that people would. Yeah, because it's huge in the Midwest, and I don't think people from Chicago eat at Giordano's that live in Denver. You know what I mean?
Right. There's a lot of Chicago people here, but they left Chicago because they want to come out here and be healthy and have sunshine.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, and pizza's kind of the opposite of sunshine.
And also, what works kind down of. There? Like Sputnik,
deep dish for sure. It's the deep dish is the opposite. That's
what they should do. Should do is they should reopen as a cafe.
Did they really spend $2 million on the renovation?
Is it really going to be six months?
June is that 4 months?
That's that's
April,
like
May,
months.
June. I don't. Yeah.
What are they going to do for the renovations?
I don't know. I don't know specifics. I shouldn't have said as much as I've already said.
Yeah, it was weird. I mean, we're already here. When the guy sent us an email and he said, we still want to keep the deepest of cuts.
The deep cuts.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, he said the deepest of cuts.
Yeah, that sounds like English.
Yeah, it just seemed a little too try hard.
Yeah.
Get the fuck out of here, you know? Yeah.
And the good news is that I think we had a great relationship with them, and that's probably one of the most successful shows I've run.
I mean, we still do. Like the last show that I did, you know, I talked to them. I mean, you were there. Like I talked to the owner, and she's like, "Hey, you guys are great. We'll definitely keep you in touch. Like, we want you back."
Yeah. Which is awesome because we don't need them. You know, which is cool that they're like, "Man, it'd be so great if you guys came back." And we're like, "Yeah, that's a good idea, but
maybe
we're also, you know, the thing is, we close deals, you know, every day. So I don't know if we have time."
I think you're just seeing a lot of minnows.
Yeah. Oh, weird. Oh no. This fish closed for 3 months. Sorry, we're at a different, bigger fish. Is that analogy tracking?
If there's somebody else who was also in sales that you could riff off of, that would be good for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool, dude.
That's an observation.
Bro, salespeople talk in like the most
douchiest of ways.
Dude, it's so...
It's like that fun toxic culture, you know what I mean? Where you guys just build off of each other.
It's ruthless. It's so fun.
Really?
It's so fun. Can I sales talk you, Jeff?
Yeah, you found your locker room.
Can I software sales you a little bit?
Yeah, hold on. Let me take my dick out first and then like put a towel between my legs.
Yeah, it's better if you're in a vulnerable position. That helps me out a lot. This is the language I would use.
So who am I to you? Am I like a rep or
you're
like
a client?
You're okay,
a client.
Okay,
you're looking for software. We've been talking for a little while. Like, Jeff, I see you've brought me some pain points. I've addressed those pain points. I've told you how my software can fix those for you. What's preventing you from taking the next steps to, one, make your business run really efficiently, and B, free up your life?
One and B?
Yeah. No, that's important. That's important.
Really?
That's important to do that. Yeah. That's part of it.
What?
What's preventing
you? Fuck off. That can't be part of it.
Is that like some like mental trick or something?
Jacob, what's preventing you from taking the next steps to living the life you want to live?
Because I want to see you be good at comedy.
Okay. I get that from you, but what's a good card I can put this on?
Oh, my credit card information? Yeah,
what's that number?
Definitely. Let me just get that. You.
Oh, wow. That was really good.
Because you said 1B, and I just, like,
got bingo?
Yeah.
What's preventing you from taking the next steps to move your business into the upper echelons?
Wait, so, like, you're in software sales. What software are you selling to people?
I feel like, based on everything I've said, I shouldn't say what company I work for.
Don't say the company.
If you guys don't.
No, but like, you don't have to say the company.
What are you offering a client?
What are you offering me?
Yeah, what are you offering him?
What am I offering you?
And me to begin with, because this was both of us. What are you offering?
Both of you? Hey, I'm offering you solutions to a difficult life. I'm offering you automation. I'm offering you more money. I'm offering you having
too vague.
A business at the very it doesn't matter what I sell.
You're
selling yourself. Yeah.
Right. It doesn't, I could be, it does. The important thing is you don't have to know what the software is. You just have to believe me when I tell you that what I'm going to do is, one, move you to the next level as a business, and B, free up your time and money.
I hate that.
Okay,
game.
So...
And also, see, what's a good card I can put this on for you guys?
Roman numeral
also
3.
Also, I was going to say Roman numeral 3.
Do you always say, what's a good card? Like, that's how you get the payment information?
Yeah, it's not, can I... Would you like me to send you an invoice? No.
Is it a script that you've just kind of memorized and you're... just repeating?
I mean...
Because I could say my script, too.
I make it my own. I make it fun.
Oh, yeah.
That is what I've been doing with poetry, where they'll say, like, well, how much? And I'm like, well, I got Venmo open right here. They're like, oh, you have Venmo. And then we haven't even talked about price, but they're already paying me.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll give me...
They're already committed, yeah.
Yeah, there is certain mental tricks that you can really fucking do.
Yeah.
Okay, so
my cousin does. My cousin, he's all about that. He does door-to-door sales.
Martin Skeet!
Skeet!
Pussy to pussy, dude, plan B sale.
Talking about fucking, I've seen like so many like TikToks and shit. I've seen like so many TikToks of shit and of people like slamming the door in face of solicitors.
Uh-huh.
And like, it's brutal. And I'm like, damn, Martin fucking does that every day.
Gangster, man.
Like, he just gets, it seems more brutal than comedy, to be honest.
He calls me crying sometimes, man.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely.
He calls you crying?
Because he's like, finger got
life
caught.
Is hard, dude.
His finger got caught in the door.
No, that's
not, man.
It's true. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised, honestly, but he's also making... stacks.
You're thinking really short term, Jacob. I know you're saying you don't have the time now, but what I'm telling you is if you invest now, you'll have the time.
Let me pitch you. Hey, thanks for calling Denver Regenerative Medicine.
Well, but that's the thing. It's like, if Martin's crying and then you're truly not happy, and then like Mike Giacopelli, my friend from college, like was like, I'm making a bunch of money, but I'm like depressed. I'm just like, I'm not depressed.
Yeah.
And it's just I don't have a lot of money, but I'm just like, do you guys hear yourselves?
Yeah, health is wealth, baby.
Yeah, I have a question for you. Is there any reason that you wouldn't commit to doing this right now to make your life better tomorrow?
Yeah, because I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
It doesn't
and I'm
matter.
Happy day to day.
I truly am curious. Like, what is, you don't have to say the company, but like, what is like the software thing?
One. I'm going to make you more money than you ever made in your entire life.
Oh, my God, bro. Please. This is like it's like a pyramid scheme.
B. I'm going to free up your time and energy.
Do you get people below you and then they give you a commission and then you give a commission to a higher person?
That's kind of what I'm working on now. Do you guys want to come in now? No, I sell it's software for gyms.
Oh, like customer relations?
Smaller key cards? Like, what's the deal?
No,
is it a CRM, like customer relations management software?
Yeah, I can sell that to them, sure.
Oh, that's what I'm working on right now.
The thing is, it doesn't matter. I can sell them whatever they want, whatever they say
I'm
they want.
I'm still confused. I mean...
It's a software for gyms to use for whatever they want, and I'll tell them that it can do that, and then I'll ask them for money.
I know, like, two gyms.
Oh, so you'll lie to them.
And they're both duds of guys, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, you mean like a gymnasium? Bad riff.
Both are right, yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, whatever. Oh,
see, I don't think Elliot's depressed at all. I think that he truly is happy.
No, this is him happy.
I think it is actually.
I like you so much more when you're happy.
Dude, yeah. And it's, I mean, like, it's so much rejection. Most people are like, you know, fuck off, slam the phone down.
Man, fuck them, $5,000 a month, man.
But you believe in what you're doing.
And also,
you believe in the returns you're getting from what you're doing.
And I can get hyped up enough going in that I can do this for 8 hours and be stoked about it.
You like gold stars. Like, you like doing a good job. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, you got a sticker today. Oh, you're the best at this? Oh.
100%.
Oh, it's my second month and I'm already on top? That's crazy. What's everyone else doing?
Are you the top salesman?
Yeah.
Fuck them. Hell yeah, dude. Yeah, absolutely.
That's great.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that doesn't surprise me because you've excelled at most things that you've done.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And do you find that comedy's like, do you miss? Because I saw you at Wide Right.
Yeah.
Maybe?
Yeah. Well, right. Yeah. I miss comedy a lot and having a life, but fuck it, dude.
Okay.
Close deals now. I wear vests.
Were you at Wide Right? I was at Wide Right. I didn't see you.
No, you weren't at Wide Right. You asked me to sign you up, but you did. You like guest hosted.
Oh, I thought you meant. Yeah, no, I did.
And Rock Pile.
I guest hosted for Hannah Jones, and then Zeus and a bunch of friends came.
Oh,
and,
at
Infinite Monkey.
Nice.
Yeah, Zeus and a bunch of friends ended up coming to that. So I told you to put me down, and then Zeus showed up at the end, and he was like, "You want to get a drink with me?" And there were some people I knew that were only in town for a day. I was like, "Yeah, yeah." Wide Right happens every week.
I believe an important part of being a comedian is the open mic. Culture and like developing new material and being around comics that are hungry and the energy with that and it doesn't seem like you have the schedule right now to serve that. Are you worried about that?
Oh, certainly.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm also at I'm at Wide Right eight out of 10 times.
What?
Out of 10 times
on Wednesday.
I don't think Wide Right is a quality place to get good feedback for your material.
No,
it is the place for the energy of the scene.
That's true.
This is contradictory. You're like, you should go to the open mics.
No, I'm saying like the idea of going to like Epic Brewing and trying to bid out and then like tweaking it to like going to Rover and then going to Lion's Lair. I like when I did that on Monday, I like had my new town lights at whatever and like tweet. I was like, I felt energized and it was like 1 a.m. and I was exhausted, but I was like energized because I just had this night of comedy where I'm like retooling bits and shit.
Yeah, no, I missed that and I definitely want to. I mean, and I knew and I told you guys that was my moment of honesty of I'm starting a new job. I need help. With producing shows. And I'm also just going to be like a little less around. And that was a month ago today, I think. Close to.
Yes.
Within a week. So I knew that was going to happen. And I knew that was just probably the learning curve with the new job and figuring it out. And I think I had, in December and January, a pretty good balance of comedy and work where I was going up.
And it's always a balancing act. Like, it's like ongoing in terms of like what works best for you.
Life. Right. So yeah, my goal is not to maintain where I'm at now. I knew this would be a allow yourself a little time to breathe, settle in. Like, cause I mean, I tried doing it the first couple. Well, cause I had the other job before this job. So for like the last the 2 weeks in the transition, I was trying to do both. And I was like, oh man, I'm just burning this candle at both ends.
Yeah.
I'm trying to keep doing comedy the way I was doing comedy when I was unemployed. So I'm staying out till 1 a.m. and I'm trying to wake up at 6 to get to work by 7.
Yeah.
And I'm going to snap.
Yeah.
I'm just going to lose it. And relationships, other things too. So I was like, this is not good. So I need to focus, do this, and then get back to a sustainable amount of comedy.
Yeah, because your work ethic is real, right? So you just have to do what you can do and be honest about your boundaries. You know what I mean?
Right. And it's also, I mean, it's hard to just accept that. Just be like, I'm just going to take 30 to 40 days and not do as much comedy, which is not that long in the scheme of your comedy career for the last 4 to 5 years we've all been in it and where it will go from there. You deserve that time for whatever you need it for. So I think it's...
Yeah, that's very important.
I used up my PTO though. So I'm planning on going out a lot more for open mics and comedy in the coming weeks and closing deals.
And closing deals.
And closing deals.
But like if you are the top salesman And then that all of a sudden becomes the expectations of your manager or whatever. And then all of a sudden you let that slip and you say, well, hey, I'm trying to balance life work. I'll still be do you see yourself being able to have that honest conversation where I want to pull back a little bit? Is that nicotine? Would love some nicotine. Take your time, but would love some nicotine.
Same, heard. No, I mean, it's what I struggle with at 10 barrel too, right? Where right. I was so committed to the company and I realized, oh, this isn't actually what my life is about. That's always been something I struggle with. Interesting question. Something I'm aware of.
Yes.
The potential for that to happen. And we'll see where it goes, you know? I think awareness is a good first start, but a solid answer, I don't know if I can give you.
Yeah. I mean, so all these questions and all these jokes and giving you a hard time and each other a hard time, it all comes from for me, a deep love for all three of you, all four of you, and Evan and Clay. Right. I love the scene and the community. And the way you guys brought me into Dead Room Comedy was such a validating thing in my career and blah, blah, blah. And so, yeah, and we've watched each other grow in real ways in the last almost 3 years now. And wow, it's pretty remarkable, and so it's no wonder shit falls by the wayside. But I think we're the only ones that can have these conversations with each other by the keeping each other in check and asking, are you happy and are you okay and are you is it something that you want, because you're not doing what we're not doing what we were doing with as much frequency. Which is the thing that brought us together to begin with, which was,
Yeah.
Hitting mics every night.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with that. There's something really nice, too, about just doing showcases for, I don't think it's ideal, especially if you want to make it and want to be good, but for a period of time being oh, cool, I'm going to do comedy on Friday and Saturday this week, and then Thursday and Friday next week, and they're actually all going to be good gigs.
Do you feel like when you don't do mics consistently and then you just do a showcase, you're doing old material?
Yeah.
And do you feel loose and you feel good and you feel ready to do it?
I felt better about it than I thought I would, because I was worried I'm going to feel rusty.
Yeah.
But I took more time to write for the sets than I would have probably if I was doing open mics, where that's where your time is spent socializing at the open mic.
Right.
So I feel like I prepared better for the sets. And then I actually put a good amount of newer stuff that I was pretty okay with how it went, where I had tried it once or twice or maybe never tried it and was like, cool.
That's also, they're different crowds at showcases.
Right, yeah.
And so when you do try a new bit, especially if you've already proven yourself with bits you already know that work, so you've established that you're funny, they are more willing to go on with you on a new joke. In fact, some people are even is it okay if I try new material? And they start clapping, and they're already in that mindset, which is why showcases can be dangerous if you're trying to really develop new material. Open mics that are dead rooms, which means you have to bring the energy with either good writing, good energy, just being on the moment. You know what I mean?
It seems like you two have kind of followed that path of just going to less mics, not grinding every day or whatever, and focusing more on showcase. And that's not
grinding. I think you guys are both grinding.
Right. Yeah. You're both grinding, but you've leaned more into the showcase and then it kind of done more of a balancing act with your life.
I agree.
Sure. I'm taking acting classes.
Right.
Which,
exactly.
Takes up a whole
there's supplemental things you can do that cross training, if you will, where you're this isn't comedy open mic night, but I'm developing skills that are going to help me in the long run. What I'm telling you is, if you give me the card now, one and two.
I think that's good to know, though. I've always had, I don't know about you, Jeff, but I've for the past year or two, I've had this it's almost an anxiety that might not necessarily be true of, if I don't hit this many mics before this show that I have on Friday, I won't do well.
What's
at that
the number?
Show. Usually, my goal is to hit be on stage 7 to 10 times a week.
Yeah.
7 to 10 times. So that's the same for me. I 7 to 10, but I include showcases in that number.
Right. Me too.
Okay.
Yeah. But,
I think that's reasonable. And I agree with what you said, Josh, too, where you have to be wary if you step away from open mics or don't do them as frequently, where, your material's not as tested. You're getting the Durango crowd, if you will.
Exactly.
You're getting the Durango reaction where you're like, whoa, I'm good at comedy. And it's like, no, you just happen to have a good crowd and you could kind of get away with whatever.
Yeah.
And if you actually put that up against an open mic crowd that doesn't like you, or against a show where there's really good comedians before you that have tight writing and good performance.
People are gonna notice. Exposed.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then I love Denver for that, because you'll see out of town comics come through and get exposed. It's my favorite thing in the world to watch. Yeah. Comics do their greatest hits, dead-eyed.
Right, like a Midwestern comic. And it really is. I mean, there's like a lot of comics that come from like South Dakota or whatever, and then you can tell that they have the writing, and that you can tell that they have the punchline that they're, you know, like banking everything on, and then when it gets nothing.
They don't know what to do.
They start squandering.
Squanch.
Yeah, exactly.
I've never felt that.
I like it. I like that you like when comics get exposed. I think I think that's fun, and what I like doing is exposing myself to comics. So,
man, you need to go to more show.
Wow!
Oof! I don't know. I agree with you though that there's some jobs that sort of work those comedy muscles. Sales, I think, is a good one. Customer service, I think, is a good one. Like, I remember just being high at the gas station trying to fuck with people. Like, when I first started out, that gave me that energy, that like the obnoxiousness, and then like. Working at Ball Arena, working at the Denver Zoo, like that's all I'm doing is trying to make those people laugh as they're coming in, you know? So it's like quick interactions and like what works or not. And so then, and I work on like different jokes, and they're like silly things like the elephant one or whatever. Just to
have you done the elephant joke to people who are walking into
arena? I do it like I'd say 7 times a day.
Where you're like, I work at the zoo. This is
you're getting up on stage 7 times a day, dude.
Yeah, baby.
That's true.
If we're talking reps, dude, gosh.
Yo, man, I'm the first native that a lot of these white kids are like ever see in their life, man.
That's fair.
It's like the some of these white kids, like they stare big eyed at me, and like, what's my responsibility here? Like, how do I
feel like you're talking about me 3 years ago.
Josh, you should just wear a shirt that says say sorry.
One, say sorry. B, I'm an elephant.
Your responsibility is
anybody
to
else
yourself.
Want a beer? Another beer?
No, thank you.
Okay.
Sure.
I'd have a beer.
Stop.
Did you start drinking again?
No.
I knew it.
I'm completely sober.
Still? No.
I will be throughout all of Lent.
Oh, yeah. We forgot to talk about Catholic holidays. What's
I mean, St. Patty's Day right now.
Yeah,
it's also my grandma's birthday.
Is she St. Patrick?
No.
No.
She's dead.
You're wearing green. Good job.
Yep. Put the hat on. Little beer logo on it so everybody knows that I... dude, I also noticed...
Wait, that what?
I was going to say I'm an alcoholic, but I I don't think that about myself anymore.
That's good.
It's called, say it with me, delusion, closing deals.
I'm not an alcoholic. I'm a salesperson.
You just set a beer down next to an empty beer can. Anyway, continue.
No, like genuinely, ever since I got out of the bar industry.
Yeah.
Well, I won't say that because I got out of the bar industry, but then I was unemployed, which is basically the bar industry.
Yeah.
I've been, ever since I had this job, the last 6 weeks, I've drank the least amount I probably have since college.
Nice.
Overall, which I was like, oh, it's a proximity thing.
It's a good barometer
if
for
I'm
like,
not around
where
you're at. It. Yeah. And then I was also going out to comedy less, as you guys pointed out. I quit, and I was like, oh, that was a proximity thing too.
Mm-hmm.
If I work my job and then hang out with my girlfriend and walk my dog, I don't drink. Oh, right. That's cool. That's good to know. So it's more just because I was around it all the time.
Yeah.
So, and you know, you guys have it, so that's kind of on you.
Have what?
Booze.
Oh,
well, I don't.
We have booze.
Yeah, enabling.
You have it.
Oh, here in this space.
Yeah.
Well, usually I haven't. I mean, same thing with you. Since the beginning of 2022, it's like the same thing where I've cut down on my drinking significantly.
Do you feel better? Feel lighter?
Yeah, 100%. Like, I realized that, you know, I did the same thing in 2020 before the pandemic where I saved booze for really special occasions, like St. Patty's Day or whatever.
really special.
It's a day for you're supposed to drink.
Yeah. Special day for me in my community.
But I legit, like, stopped drinking during the weekends, and I did Dry January or whatever, no lube, and then... No, but really, like, I stopped drinking during the weekends, and I realized that...
You stopped drinking during the week?
No, during the weekends. Because usually, like...
But you drank during the week?
No. I wouldn't, like, I pretty much cut out all alcohol.
Okay.
But I realized
say that then.
I realized how big of a kind of a time suck it was, because like I would be drinking on Friday night,
yeah,
and then I would feel shitty on Saturday, and then I would feel shitty until I started drinking on Saturday night, and then, you know, it'd be like a repeating thing every three, you know, for 3 days every week.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, oh shit, like 40% of my life kind of like revolves around alcohol. And then when I stopped doing that over the weekends, you know, it's pretty eye opening.
Yeah. I agree with you. And it's almost like, you don't know how good you feel when you're not drinking, until you don't drink.
Yeah.
And then you work at a bar for 5 years and drink every day, and you're like, man, my life hurts. And then you just don't for a couple weeks, and you're like, oh, it doesn't have to.
Right. You feel like lighter. You know what I mean?
Is this what you experienced?
What? Not drinking?
Yeah. Like when
absolutely.
You're like, oh, that was actually hurting me a lot.
Yeah. That's why I haven't gone back to it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Drinking can bring out some of the worst things in you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Amplify it.
Actively. Well, and just make you like feel like most of the things I regret was drinking was involved. And like, yeah, even small things, just like things I said, like, oh, I lied, you know, like about something stupid. Doesn't like, oh, I told people I went to this bar, but I went to this bar to avoid them.
Right.
And it doesn't matter, but I just feel bad about it tomorrow. And the only reason I did that is because I was drinking and I didn't want to see them.
Yeah, because it's ultimately like a dishonesty to yourself.
Yeah.
And
or sometimes it's just embarrassing. Like sometimes I'll say the cringiest things when I'm like a little bit tipsy. You know what I mean? Like just not fun things.
Yeah,
I want to see how thick you've got.
Yeah, I know. Oh, ow.
The first one that came.
Yeah,
who'd you say that to, and why?
It doesn't matter who I said it to.
It kind of does.
She's a very skinny white girl.
Yeah, she was like what, 110 pounds.
It's not creepy. It was a bit.
That holds up.
No, it's definitely creepy. I don't endorse that at all.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess if we're talking about our, like, reps in comedy and, like, our rate of performing and blah, 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 one thing I was thinking of, I'm like, well, what are your goals? Where do you want to be in a year as far as, like, your place in comedy? And I was, like, thinking about, I don't know if I have tangible goals. I want to be better. I want to be performing more. I want to be producing more.
What about something like High Plains? You want to be on High Plains?
None of that shit really matters to me.
Yeah, I never heard of it. Interesting. Stupid festival.
I would love to, but like that doesn't feed my joy. Like I'm talking about like my day-to-day life. Like High Plains would be a great thing to celebrate the work that I put in.
Mm.
It would be a great marker of that, but like that's High Plains is not a paid thing. I like the people that you're in front of don't really like the bigger comics that you're performing with maybe see you. But I like, and maybe are impressed, but I don't think it's going to lead to real opportunities. It's just maybe a good hang, which you can get volunteering. So like this thing, like High Plains, you know, is what it is. But like on my day to day life as a comedian, what does improvement look like? You know, and I think for me that I someone I really admire is like Ben Bryan, who's like built the Denver Comedy Underground from like location to location. And now has a thing that, and I want to be able to pay my friends. I want to be able to pay out of towners. I want to be able to go on the road and know I can have that reciprocated. Things like that, I think, is where I'm at.
I think that's lovely. It wasn't as intrinsic as I thought it would be from you. It was a little bit.
What?
The goals of like, I mean, yeah, maybe it is more intrinsic than I'm giving you credit for, where you're like the important thing to me isn't what I get on paper. It's how I feel about my performance.
Yeah.
I think that's valuable. But one thing I've noticed about you, and I don't know if you want to discuss this on here, but
absolutely I do.
Let me know. You've become more money focused, especially in a comedy sense.
Yeah. I'm happy to talk about this.
In the last 3 months.
Yeah.
And how do you feel about that? And we've talked about this briefly. I think, Jacob, you were there at Giordano's, where it's like, it's just a weird balance of I want to do this because I like it and because I want to get good at it and because it has value to me. And I also want to get paid for it. But, I can't tell if I respect the hell out of you or if you're just a real piece of shit.
That's fair.
I mean, like honestly, with the way you're like, I deserve to be paid this for this.
Yeah.
Because sometimes it pisses me off. And but when it's between you and I, you know, and like, I don't care if you do it to other people really, but, and then also, part of me is like, even when it's between you and I, I'm like, good for you.
Well, because I'm not choosing to. I'm not like throwing that energy at targets that don't deserve it. I think that energy like is valid with corporations or businesses that have real entertainment budgets built in, and I have to recognize my value is what I'm bringing, and I want to put my money where my mouth is, and really like produce well and like go above and beyond, and you know, and host well and shit like that. Because when I quit my job in September at Costco, I expected to get another job in November after the road trip. And I have not had to, because I've had this like energy and this discipline of seeing how, where the avenues I can get paid. And I've loved my life. I've never loved my life more than I have since like the beginning of September. Interesting. And I know that like that it's just, I'm getting better at riding that wave and balancing that. I'm not gonna throw that energy at like open micers or like people that are producing local shows. Like that's community, that's good stuff. But like if you can go to a venue and say like I deserve to get paid more, and just look at my bottom line. Like one thing I wanted to bring up in that Giordano's discussion we were just having, if they want to have us back and we're your number one night, pay it like $50 a week is one of the lowest budgeted shows in Denver for a weekly show. If we are their best night of the week, right, we deserve to get paid more. Right. And that needs to be a discussion. If not, let's go elsewhere. Because we have six monthly shows. We can have another monthly show elsewhere.
Yeah, because the conversation used to be that we're doing this to learn how to do this well.
Yeah.
Right? So we're doing this for experience. And part of the payment was actually learning how. Because when we started, we were junior. We were green. And our shows reflected that. And now we've gotten to a point where we've refined it to a place that we really enjoy our shows. And we have a lot more room to grow, of course. But where the experience that we've garnered and then our ability to produce shows, it is valuable, and we should be paid for it, and we shouldn't be taking opportunities for experience sake anymore.
Yeah.
We should be taking the best venues, the best budgets, so, yeah, one of the two, right? Like, but the best opportunities overall. Yeah. And I think I think you're right, is like that you do want to make sure you, like, when we talk about sales, you're selling yourself, right? And so you have to believe in the product, and you got a good product, right? And so, yeah, absolutely.
Why am I so much more capable of doing that for a corporation I work for than I am for myself?
I know. You believe more in the corporation?
Yeah, we've had this conversation before where you're like, oh, I can stand up for myself. Because I'm very impressed. Even when I was living with you, like right when we moved from Durango, you had like three jobs. Like you started working at that cafe, and then you quit, and then you went to another job. And I was like thinking, I was like, I couldn't imagine just like getting a job and then being like, oh, I don't like this, and then quitting like 3 days later. Like that's something that I don't do. Same. Yeah.
I was good in that regard. Interesting. But I mean, like, that's where I fell short, because I quit months before you did. But I was never able to fully commit my mindset to, I need to get paid for this or it's not going to work, and I deserve to be paid for this. And this is how much I need from you and you and you, different venues, whatever, to do this. Man, I don't know what the hang up is.
It seems like a belief system. Yeah. Like you don't believe in yourself.
In
terms of like,
it's such a hard transition from the way I started this podcast. Just looking at that, like the way I came
in. Well, we all saw that coming.
I'm stacking paper and then like pull this curtain later up.
Oh, yeah, the real me came out. Interesting. But like, man, like, so. Because, like,
one, I don't believe in myself. B,
B, you owe me. I'll pay you. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And it's not like I don't think I'm bad at comedy. I don't think I don't deserve it. But maybe that's just me saying it and not actually believing it. And if I did believe it, I would execute comedy at the same level I came in here pretending to execute the job I don't care about at. Huh.
And
it sucks how bad this is gonna hurt tomorrow to think about.
Well, write about it, because you tell you what, don't not think about it, because it's affecting your comedy career.
Definitely write about
it. It's worth looking into.
Yeah, and I will say, like,
fuck.
This comes from like my belief in myself comes from being around people that believe in me. Whether it's like Josh and I working on the script, whether it's Bianca, like her input and like belief in what I do is I would be a fool to say it doesn't affect my motivation in every conversation. I mean, you know, and same with my family and stuff like that. They, you know, I have people that believe in what I do, and I am therefore able to like carry that energy into conversations and stuff like that, and know that the people that matter have my back no matter what. And so when I step out on these conversations in negotiations or whatever, or asking for what I think I deserve, and you know, because Bianca's the first relationship I've ever had like treat me how I deserve to be treated. I said that like in the first week. I've never asked for that in a relationship, which is mind blowing to me. Like I've had all these different relationships, and I've never asked someone to treat me how I deserve to be treated. And it's just like that little turn and bringing that energy to all different other facets of life has been like, it's led to this beautiful life that I love living every day. And I think that in turn, I like the reason I'm not throwing this energy when I say like I'm not throwing this energy at open micers or local producers or whatever. I'm also like, I think it's a way of leading by example. I love Denver comedy, and every time I travel and go on the road, we have it so good here with the amount of opportunities to get up and stuff like that. And I think the comics that are coming up behind us are so fucking funny and so talented, and are going to be producing shows like that. And we come from the ilk of a year ago talking about like approaching the Fringe show of saying, well, we live in a city where there's been the Pussy Bros, the Growlix, the Fine Gentleman's Club. We stepped in their footprints that they imprinted, and we had the ease of that, and we had their example that they set, and we followed that. And I think it's legitimately led to real results. We're like, I was pushing carts last year at this time, listening to Adam Caton Holland's book, not knowing him at all, but admiring him, and as a writer, and as a comedian, and as someone who's making a comedy, and all of a sudden he's headlining the Bi Agenda in January, you know, and I was like bumping nose, and we're like talking back and forth on Instagram now, and that's because like they did it, and they're open about what they did, and they've made it happen for themselves in their own way, and I think it's just they showed that it's possible here, and I'm finding that it's possible for myself here.
Yeah.
Does that resonate with you?
Fucking in like a kind of a, in a painful way a little bit.
Well, why is it painful?
Well, I don't know. I don't know why I've never valued comedy. I'm trying to figure that out. I think that's the, I don't think it's the, partially self-belief certainly. But I also think comedy for me, some reason, has never been valued as a career from like multiple perspectives, from like, mm-hmm. Even your parents being like, I'm glad you're doing that. Get a job. Right. And
right,
like,
right.
And all of that builds. And I think I've just kind of maintained and never pushed back against that. And I've tried to multiple times. And then it gets scary. It gets mm-hmm. hard. You're like, fuck, what if it doesn't work out?
Right. You've never tried to push back against the idea that you would make it in comedy? Or
that not necessarily me specifically, just that like comedy is not
like not the main source of revenue for you.
Yeah, like not what your life should be about as as a normal person, mm-hmm. if that makes sense. People just have like the tropes. You go to college, you get a job. Yeah, you do stand up. That's great. Have fun, you know. And I feel like even the hardest I've ever pushed with comedy and believed in myself and believed in stand up, it's still been. The most I've ever believed in it, it's still been, I'm here to do the best I can and like create a good show, create a good time, pay some comedians, but it's never been, this needs to be my career or this needs to be nothing.
Well, both can be true. Like you can be doing the best you can and it can also be your career. You know what I mean? Yeah. It seems like you have like this trepidation to like put like these external like mile points of like, you know, pays for my house or whatever. But I think the idea is like if you just get funnier, those things sort of come into line. And it's really difficult to get funnier. It's yeah. difficult to like, and so like, but I guess what do you see yourself as a lifer? Do you see yourself as someone that does this the rest of his life?
Yeah, participating.
Participating. We're all participating. What other yeah. like you do you mean contributing or like what other things can you do besides participate?
Well, I mean like anyone can do comedy for their entire life, right? You just like, oh yeah, it's fun for me. I get good at it.
There's some people that can't do comedy once, man.
Right.
That's true.
Yeah. Certain people can do comedy for their entire lives, get to a certain point where they're good enough at it to have fun doing it, put out an album, give it to their friends, be like, hey, this is cool. I mean, like there's like amateur musicians that exist,
right?
Like that's what I would view it as. Like we have a band, we recorded an album,
It's like it's a hobby.
Here it is. Yeah. It's hobby versus career. Man, I'm just like so much thinking about how hot I came in. Like man, if I could,
this is like the existential realization.
It's like really like fuck. If I just did that with comedy.
Yeah,
but that guy is such a dick. The guy I was pretending to be when I came in here talking about
sales. Be a dick.
But just do that with comedy the same way.
Instead of closing deals, like I'm doing mics.
You can do one B or you can do A two. You can do it either way. So you guys know. But yeah, I mean, yeah, but like I'm able to do that at work. You know, I'm able to clock in and like pretend to be.
Yeah, turn it on, man.
Turn it on. That company went out of business tomorrow,
you'd still be the same person.
I'd be fine, yeah. Right? But I can. Yeah, yeah. But when I clock in the morning, I can turn it on and be like, I'll do this for you guys, and I'll fucking crush at it, and that's pretty tight.
Yeah.
I think.
Why not? Why not have that attitude about comedy? Yeah. Just turn it on and be like,
I'm fucking amazing. Everybody, get out of my way.
You probably have more motivation because you're making $5,000 like a month.
A day is what I said. No,
but yeah, it's a lot.
It's hard to go the other way.
It's a lot easier to be on for 8 hours a day when you know that you're making a shit ton of money.
Yeah. Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. But if you do that with comedy, the way you're doing it, in a sense, like I would describe the dick persona I am at work as like you with comedy. And I mean that in like a not in an insulting way.
No, I remember this conversation we had at like Wide Right where I was like, I think it was on acid, but I looked at you and I was like, I'm leaning into it, buddy. Yeah. And I'm not and like I'm not in competition. I've stopped doing that too. It's the same mentality where if a comic crushes, I no longer look at myself in competition with that comic. Bless you.
Absolutely.
I'm able to see it's an audience having a great time. They want to keep having a great time. Now it's my turn to keep having a great time with them. So I'm like no longer having a competition. I'm in competition with who I was yesterday, who I was a month ago. And I want to keep getting better than that because I am a competitive person and I got to channel that inward.
Right.
And that benefits me because it like... At the end of the day, like let's use Ben Bryan again. Like it's just someone I've just from working with him, watching him work at the Underground for the first time this past Saturday, just helping him at the door. I was so intimidated by him. I couldn't get a read on him, blah, blah, blah. And you see him at Crush at Mike's or you see him in the Comedy Works and stuff like that. And as a new guy that moved here, I was just like, what's his deal? What's blah, blah. And now I just see it as someone who's put his head down and worked really hard and built what he wants to build.
Right.
And he's not in competition with other people and he's just doing his thing. And I can do that with my own.
By the way, can I say that when you have that switch of mentality, like I recently went through that switch too, probably within the past couple of months where like I stopped, like if somebody crushed right before me,
yeah.
Like at a mic, like I used to get so insecure and be like, that wasn't even that funny. Why are these people laughing?
Right.
It's so much easier to like recognize like good jokes or recognize the fact that everyone's having fun. And when you feed into that, you have that same energy when you go up and it benefits you.
Yeah, definitely. Cause this whole mental landscape informs everything that's on your face and everything in your emotion, everything, right. Your tone and your delivery and all that stuff.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
I like competition. I don't like the negative aspect of like why didn't that joke, why are they laughing at that joke? That joke sucks. I mean, I definitely say that like sometimes when jokes are terrible that the audiences are laughing at, but I do like the idea of they did well. I want to do better as a motivation, but not the person. It's against my, like I use it to like fire myself up because I am extrinsically motivated. Yeah. Like I am motivated by people that don't like me, And I'm motivated by people that do well. Cause they like, I love to be inspired by that. You know what I mean? I love watching people succeed because it makes me want to succeed better. Like I'm not mad at their success. Does that make sense?
Right.
Yeah.
I'm not even like mad at myself for not having their success. I just like, it's like, well, I got to keep working. I got to keep grinding. I got to keep doing the stuff to make me better at this, more successful. What can I do tonight? What can I do tomorrow? Every chance you get on stage is an opportunity. I try to take that very seriously. I try not to throw away mics. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which is, and just be, I like having people motivate me, I guess. You know what I mean?
You're welcome.
Yeah. And
you have a lot of time. Yeah. Like, what was it? What was that? Gladys? You went up first. What was that?
Yeah. Gladys.
Gladys. Oh, yeah. You went up first and you crushed.
Did you win that?
I won it finally right before the pandemic.
And then I won it right the month after.
Yeah.
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 You wait. You won it the night I went up or no?
I don't remember.
No, he won it the month before that we went up on the same night, and then I won it the night you went up.
Okay. Huh, weird. This was just weird that it was bizarre that I didn't win. So it's
yeah, well, that's where I mean, that's where
you're do better, you know, like
yeah, because that feeling of negativity or that feeling of competition for other comics when they do well, I think that truly is rooted in insecurity,
ego. Yeah,
yeah, that's where it's like, oh, they're doing better than I think that I can do, you know, or
insecurity is bad. Ego isn't necessarily bad unless you're. I mean, you can roll your eyes all you want.
No, I mean, no, I was doing like the.
Oh, yeah.
Like
I mean,
considering.
Oh no, I was thinking.
I don't disagree that ego is not necessary. You know. Yeah.
It's another conversation. It's another relationship that you have with yourself.
Yes.
In terms of, you want to foster it though. You don't want to kill the ego, because it kills a part of yourself. You know what I mean? Like it's so hard to be Buddhist because of that.
Right.
You. Yeah. By the way, you physically cannot kill your ego.
Right.
By the way,
absolutely.
If you have a sense of yourself and you're in your body, you have an ego.
Yeah. Because I've loved meditation and I've loved what it's done for my life and how it's calmed me down and helped me stay sober or like no alcohol, blah, blah, blah. But if I was to follow those beliefs to like their fullest extent, I wouldn't need comedy. Yeah, I wouldn't need anything. But you gotta like, it, just as much as like, we are like a spiritual person. You have to honor your physical existence. I have to work out and I have to drink water. Otherwise my body will decay. And like, I have to acknowledge that. Like, it's not all mental shit. And just as like, you have to acknowledge the ego as much as you have to acknowledge the poison that it can be.
Also all the things I want to do in my life for the rest of my life require me having a healthy ego. You know what I mean? Like, yes. I want to be on TV.
Right.
Like, I want to buy a house with comedy. Like, I want to be a great partner to my girlfriend, which means that I have to be a good person. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the ego is so crucial to success in all those things.
Yeah. You cannot go up and do well at an open mic without thinking that you deserve it.
Right. Yeah, it goes back to the thing of like, treat me how I deserve to be treated. That is the ego talking,
right?
But it's channeling it in the most healthy hole that it can find, and
right.
Like where it fits best.
Yeah, because success in comedy.
I mean, it depends on what you think that you deserve.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
But like,
true.
Yeah.
Because it's not a zero sum game when it comes to success. I absolutely believe that. But other people succeeding does not mean that you can't succeed,
right.
Especially on the same show. Like if somebody kills and then you kill right after him. That show's fucking hot. The audience is warm. All you have to do is be good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Just go out there, be funny, and they will also laugh at you. They're not going to be like, oh, that person was 3% funnier, so I'm not going to laugh as much as... You know what I mean? That's not how they...
They really don't fucking give a fuck.
They're big
us.
Dummies. Yeah.
They want to have... This is their night out.
They fucking paid to be there.
Yeah.
So it's like, obviously, they want
they
as
want
good
everybody
of a
to
show
crush.
As possible.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, that goes back to, like, I mean, it's really easy, if somebody crushes before you at a showcase, it's so easy to fall into the mentality of like, well, they're better than me and I'm going to bomb, you know? But it like, you have to, at least for me personally, you have to like consciously choose to be like, okay, somebody did better than me, like right before me, fucking good. Like this makes me better. You know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah. Where I struggle with it, where I need to do better is when I see other people get booked and things like, oh, they got booked for that. And I want to get booked for that.
For sure. For
yeah.
sure.
And
definitely.
So that's one thing that is insecurity.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But the only way you know they got booked is by watching Instagram stories.
Right. You have to actively go see
that's
it.
True. That's
yeah.
true.
So yeah. just don't. Yeah, like yeah. I'm
bullying myself. And
my social media intake has been down so significantly in the last 3 weeks. It's been amazing.
That's nice.
Fuck you.
Hey, my fucking gross. Foot was here beforehand.
That's gross. He touched his foot.
Not only did he touch gross. It, he like caressed it and then he put his hand on top of it. At first, I thought you knew what it was.
Gross. Hey, I know not everyone's watching. Most people are listening.
Dude,
so let's go ahead and fill
no
you guys
person
in.
Is
yeah,
watching.
Let's give a play-by-play.
Also, hey Josh, guys. You should kill yourself.
Dude, I am
going to
kill you.
That was the worst thing.
Hey guys, gross. If you aren't on the YouTube, if you guys aren't watching the live stream, I'll just fill you in real quick. Josh touched Jacob's naked foot.
And, you know when you think the stroking your foot on the leg of a table, but it's like a shoe.
Yeah.
Josh just did that with his hand on Jacob's nude foot.
Yeah. Oh my god. He put his toes up, just like
fully erect. Oh my god. You know what's funny?
And you let him do that.
I watched the entire thing. You know what's funny is that my toes were soft before he started touching it.
And then they got hard, they got erect.
Yeah, they just got straight up fully erect. Wow.
I just turned and looked.
A cat's back.
Yeah, literally, that's what it was. That's what it was.
I turn and look, I make eye contact, he's just got a smile on his face.
And just a little more context for people listening and not watching, it was super hot.
It was hot.
It was really hot. I'm so wet.
I'm gonna tell you, you're gonna go home tonight, you're gonna look at Rachel's feet differently.
That's true, probably.
Dude. Fucking.
How did those feel?
Oh man.
You just get home and you're like, put socks on.
This feels like a good thing to say that was on my mind. I love this, I don't want to do this more.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
Good luck.
It has been a long time.
What's interesting, starting to podcast with other people, you realize like you guys are good at podcasting. You know, like it's fun to podcast with you. A lot of people they suck.
Well, yeah. Not even like in the podcast realm. I like hanging out with you guys. I like the four of, like, that's why we started doing all this shit together.
Sure.
Oh.
Pursuing grants and shit like that. I genuinely enjoy this.
Absence makes the heart grow fonder. That's good, because sometimes absence makes people not want to be around each other.
I would love to talk about how much I don't miss doing sketches.
Oh yeah.
Oh thank God.
Oh my God, dude.
Hey, maybe we'll get into Series Fest though, because of those sketches, which is, you know, not nothing.
I think they served a purpose.
I mean,
we
all got better with, I mean, like so many different aspects as a part of the sketches, not only filming, but like directing, acting, interacting with each other. Right.
Yeah. And I learned how to work hard last year.
You really did. You did kind of like bear the weight of all of the sketches.
Yeah. And I feel like that was like, that's a foundation I can apply to anything. It's like, oh, you got to do something every day, every week to be consistent, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. I'll take some of that more. I'll take some more nicotine.
A little nicotine babies.
Could I also smell it?
What?
The nicotine.
No, the foot.
Are you no foot? Are you no nicotine right now?
You no foot, dude?
By the way,
so hard. Cold turkey? Or?
Yeah.
No foot?
Feet are harder to quit than nicotine. For sure. For sure.
A lot more rat poison than feet, you know?
Josh, I did think of a sketch idea if you guys want to start doing a sketch every week when you're like, I want to buy a house with comedy. I think it'd be great if you... We're with a realtor, and he was like, yeah, it's a, you know, two bedroom, two bath. And you were like,
and then I just start doing material.
Here's, here's my my sheet. If you can see here, according to Roger Heck, I got a laugh every 8.6 seconds. So how much is this going to knock off the top?
Yeah, they ask that you go to a bank and ask for a loan. They say, like, well, what are your assets? And you just give them a little poster you made of your dates.
Exactly. Oh, my assets? I don't know. Have you heard of the Infinite Monkey Theorem? Every third Wednesday at 7:30.
Oh, my assets here, all my headshots right now.
You put an earbud in their ear and it's just a podcast that you're doing.
That sounds good.
Yeah,
I don't know, man. I'm actually curious to get back to the original question. What are your goals this year for comedy, Jacob Jonas?
That's an interesting question. Well, I mean, when August comes around, I'm out.
Talk to me more about how well thought out this plan is and how we're probably going to see you in September. But go ahead.
Not that well thought out, actually.
Oh.
No, it's coming together. And I'm genuinely proud of myself because I procrastinate things a lot. And even though the date of me leaving is about 4.5 months away, I've been putting in the work to planning it. And it's still pretty rough right now, but essentially my plan is to buy a vehicle within the next month to 6 weeks.
Step one.
Step B. Essentially, my working plan right now is to travel for 6 months, hitting every comedy scene, living out of a van, showering at gyms, creating content, really like leaning into, as shallow as it sounds, social media, TikTok, YouTube, and just like putting myself in that position. And then my working plan is to live in Atlanta for about 6 months and then move to New York.
Yeah. You want to do it, you got to do it.
I know. I want to do it. And it's like, here's what I've told myself is that even if I fucking fail, like even if I go to every comedy scene and I eat shit and I don't get booked and you know, my views drop off, whatever, I would rather do that than stay in Denver. And it sucks because I love my position right now. And it really hurts because, like, I love my job. It's a perfect gig, 9 to 5. It's not too stressful. I can do mics. I'm really comfortable. I love all my friends. I love everyone here. But that's what it is. It's too comfortable. And I don't think that I can fully lean into who I really am here. And whether that be because I was born here or just whatever, I'm too close to my family. Mm-hmm. It's something deep in me where I'm like, I got to get the fuck out of here and I got to experience the world, you know, or the country.
Yeah.
So
I agree with that. I think it has a lot to do with, like, that you're from here. You got to get out.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what you did. And I'm assuming that if you had stayed in whatever, Indianapolis or Wisconsin or whatever, I mean, you wouldn't fucking.
No.
And it was probably the comfortable thing for you to do.
Definitely. I haven't lived at home or around family for like 10 years now. And that's been huge of just like learning who I am, not in relationship to my parents or in my family and blah, 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 and stuff like that. Thank you for the nicotine so much. I love nicotine.
you gotta get out. Sponsored by nicotine. Big shout out to Big Nicotine.
Yeah. Like I've realized as much as my parents and my family is very supportive, I haven't needed them. As far as my day-to-day happiness, my day-to-day shit, you know, and that comes from some family drama and some childhood bedroom, blah, blah, blah. But, like, I can make it on my own, and I know that. And so, like, if my dad says, well, you don't need to be, a comedian doesn't, like, help, whatever, it's like, comedian's not a real job. I'm like, okay, I'll see you at Christmas. Like, he's not in my day-to-day life. And it's come from a point of literally asking and talking to him and literally demanding. I'm like, this is what I'm doing. You can either jump on board and be supportive in the ways that you think you can be supportive, or just like, I don't want to hear it. You can talk to me about your health and your job, but then I don't want input. And he's received that. And cause like he doesn't have a relationship with his father. He does not talk to his parents. And I'm like, do you want that? And he's like, no. We want to maintain a friendship. We want to maintain a real thing. And I genuinely want that too. And I'm like, well, then here's how it's got to be. Because you didn't ask for that with your dad. And he was way the fuck overreaching and way the fuck used it with poison in his life. And it was like, it came from another place. I'm like, well, how can we like fix that? And how can we do this father-son thing better? Mm-hmm. And I think it's made us both a lot happier and a lot healthier.
Yeah, developing yourself as an individual so that you get into the point where you are an adult. I mean, your parents are always going to be your parents, but like you are your own person, and you don't like family. Like, you don't get to choose, but it's also like you can control if they're in your life or not. And it's not a good enough excuse to keep a toxic person in your life just because you're related to them. And so,
yeah, by the way, I don't have the relationship with my parents.
No, you have a good relationship.
No, I have a great relationship. Yeah. But what you guys were saying, that's one of the things that I'm most excited for. And also obviously like the most nervous, but the idea of completely banking on myself. It's like since I got, we all met each other in college, and the idea of coming to Denver was a scary idea because none of us knew anyone or whatever. But it was good because I knew you and I knew Elliot. And so it was like we had this kind of like I had some support system. And I'm really excited to be like, OK, well, I'm going to be alone and it's going to be all on me to meet new people, network with new people, be in new locations. And, you know, like everything down to like if I have car issues or if I get stranded or whatever challenges come up in the next year. Or whenever I leave Denver, it's going to be all on me, and I have no other choice but to face it head on. And that truly is exciting.
And like talking about like the precedent set that we follow, the examples that we follow. Your sister is someone that has like hit a rock bottom of sorts and made it happen for herself. She's gone out there and fucking done it.
Well, yeah, and she did the exact same thing. Yeah. Not the exact same thing, but she moved to a new place, didn't know anyone, and she was like, okay, well, fuck it, this is my life, and I'm gonna lean into it. You know?
Yeah, I left Indianapolis and I came here not knowing anybody. And I met you guys. You're gonna go somewhere and you're gonna meet new people, and it's going to be beautiful. Yeah. I know that for you.
Yeah,
and
look for the big native guy, the long haired dude with nail polish, we'll find
the off brand dead room.
Yeah,
you know? George Delgado. Yeah. Yeah.
The not alive quadrant.
Hey, whatever. Are you guys my friends?
Yeah. I'm actually really excited for you, man, because this is the type of stuff that defines you as a man. You know what I mean? This is the type of stuff that. Because it's bigger than comedy at that point. Because who you are is still malleable, and you can. It's because you. There's just things that are going to happen that are just going to be defining for you. It's exciting.
Yeah,
thank you. I appreciate. I'm really excited to lean into the absurdity that is the United States. That's
bizarre.
It really is bizarre, and I'm like, this country is. I mean, this is like more not comedy, but like. Just more of like, as a sociologist, like of what I studied in college, like just going to shitty small towns in Alabama or whatever, South Dakota, just like, observing things that I've never seen before.
Right.
And really kind of like gaining a better understanding of the country that I live in.
Yeah.
The comedy scenes, you know, just.
Yeah,
be open to whatever happens.
That was one of my favorite things about in the Marine Corps. You know what I mean? Because you had people from all over, like people from the Bayou that spoke really stupid.
Yeah,
and different. Like there's different types of black. You know, there's country black, there's city black, and then the different cities have different types of black. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and just you find that you like. Hearing like organic stories that only come from particular cultures that only come from like Georgia. You know what I mean?
Right.
And you just find that this is a beautiful country. I mean, there's a lot of ugliness in it, obviously, but I mean, there's so many people have just made good lives for themselves and developed good relationships, and they have these weird traditions that they lean into because it makes them feel connected to the people in the past. And that's the stuff that go find it, man. Go get inspired.
I'm excited to see the beauty, and I'm excited to see the ugliness. Like I'm excited to see the fucked up shit. I don't know, everything from national parks to like fucking, you know, abandoned, rundown old ghost towns. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And just accept it now. Your car's going to get broken into. You're going to get some shitty tickets back to back. You know, just that is going to be inevitable, and you're buying into that lifestyle.
I know. And that's something that I have been worried about. One thing that I am genuinely worried about is like, how am I going to deal with the stress and how am I going to deal with the triggers? Because those things are inevitable. And so I'm like really trying to like figure out where it's like, I don't want to smoke weed because sometimes it completely takes over my life and demotivates me.
Yeah.
I don't want to drink because that has a whole slew of problems if I'm living out of my car.
Absolutely.
That's like a challenge that I am trying to think about how I'm going to deal with.
Yeah.
And I'm going to deal with it. But, you know, just something to think about.
I think an important note here is you're saying I'm going to be out on my own and I got to deal with whatever the situation is. And I think that is important and that's good. And that's growth and development. And it's also like, call us, you know,
for sure. Well, what are you guys going to do?
I mean, what we're going to do is sympathize. Hey,
for support, for sure.
Hey guys, my car's gone. And we're going to be like, okay,
cool.
Yeah.
I'm glad you called, Jacob. The good news is we're on our way, you know, or whatever. Or like, you know, we're not on our way, but the good news is emotionally we're on our way.
Yeah, I'm gonna call you and be like, hey, I forgot my sweatshirt. And I'm in Nevada,
I mean, your parents have, you know, money, but like we're people that you can call. Like if you have a car broken and you're like, you know, and you're like fucking stranded, we're gonna like rope together the funds and get it to you.
Yeah.
And like that's what you have in us. And like even though I left Indianapolis, I've loved having my relationship with David because he knows where I've come from. Mm-hmm. And we're gonna know where you came from.
Yeah, yeah.
And like in the last month, I had the thought, because it was in the lyric, and I've just realized that when you talk about the hero's journey and, you know, it's just as a protagonist in your own life and stuff like that, Denver has been my Dagobah, where like Luke went, he left Tatooine, you know, he fucking shit, he went and trained in Dagobah, like the whole second movie, and he got fucking better and he became who he needed to be. Like you will find that environment. And I think for that is you on the road and eventually New York.
Yeah. So next year you kill your dad.
And, you know, I think it might be the tumors in his hip, but
okay. They were benign.
No, he's great. But yeah, no, I mean, like, you gotta go out.
I know. Yeah, and that's the thing is, like, I'm not discounting, like, it's like, hey, I could go out, do all this shit, live in Atlanta, live in New York, and be like, hey, this sucks, and then move back to Denver.
Yeah.
And I would be totally fine with that.
Yeah.
It's just, I have to do it regardless.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And even, I mean, I talked about this on the last podcast, but that fucking, the birthday book, says in the thing where it's like, hey, this, and it's, you know, I'm not sure if I believe it or whatever, but it feels good to read, where it's like, hey, most people who have this birthday, they succeed in places that they were not born in.
Yeah.
Like they succeed.
Use it as motivation.
Right.
Use
no,
it as
inspiration. It is motivation. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's cool. Like making choices like this, like making big choices that are hard and challenging. It does exercise this muscle of freedom.
Yeah.
Like it feels like a choice, and I'm making the conscious choice to do something that's hard. And you know, I feel like if I didn't, then I would just be suffering. Like, it would be easy, like I would be comfortable, but mentally there would be something where I just knew that I wasn't living up to my full potential.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Doesn't mean that it doesn't suck, though. You know, I love Denver.
That's part of it, man.
Yeah.
That's
yeah, part exactly. Of it. Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, life, that's one of my favorite things. So a little bit of Navajo culture, get all fucking native on you. Navajos believe that every day the sun dies, so that death is a part of every day. It's a natural part of the day. And so, like, yeah, you want things to die so that the other things can grow.
Yeah.
It's just a constant cycle of of death and growth and rebirth. And, yeah, just keep going, man.
By the way, I'm so happy that you guys, I mean, and like my parents are the same way or whatever. I'm so glad that I have people in my life that like, that I've chosen to be around and that see me doing things that are good for me. And they're like, hell yeah.
Yeah.
Do that.
Absolutely.
You know? Cause there's so many people, like you can easily get into relationships where like people would try to cut you down and just be like, don't fight you. That's such a stupid idea or whatever.
Right.
But I'm glad that I've surrounded myself with people who genuinely give a shit about me and my future.
It's a blessing. It is like, cause the people that don't have it, it eats and erodes at them. And that's why, like, having experienced it, I want to be that for the people that I see in our community that, you know, whether they need it or not or whatever, just to be as supportive as you can to like the people that matter to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. We're Dead Room Comedy.
I wish I had another fart.
It has been like an hour 15. Yeah. So.
Let's do it.
Well,
how is it worded? We are the Dead Room. We are the Dead Room.
You guys see the email that went out tonight?
Yeah.
No, what was it?
It was what's it called? Dead Room. It was for Dead Room.
It's for Wonderland and Dead Room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Wonderland was a lead.
Wait, you sent out the email? Or?
Yeah.
I'll check it, but
yeah, let me know if you're not getting it.
Anyway, we should end the podcast. Evan's looking at us.
What are you gonna do, Evan? Huh?
What are you gonna do, bitch?
Whoa!
Hey, listen.
Hey.
Guys, follow
Dead Room Comedy on Instagram.
That's the one.
Follow Jankum Jones for future travel updates.
Yeah. Follow Jeff Stonick Poetry at Jeff Stonick Poetry. Do you have a separate poetry page yet?
You should start a separate poetry page.
I am everything all at once.
how insufferable.
I can get insufferable quick.
Yeah. Yep. Ain't that the truth?
One, I can get insufferable. B, read my poetry book.
Read my poetry book.
Poetry.
Yeah, follow Dead Room Comedy, and we're out.
Bye.
Bye.